Hi, I'm Rob Nadelson. The title of this essay is, What Does the Constitution Mean by Natural-Born Citizen? The Constitution says that only a natural-born citizen may be president. Throughout history, political partisans have accused opposing candidates of not being natural-born citizens and thus disqualified. Opponents allege that President Chester Alan Arthur, who served from 1881 to 1885, was born in Canada and therefore not natural-born. In 1964, some questioned the eligibility of Senator Barry Goldwater, Republican of Arizona, who, although an Arizona native, was born 3 years before that U.S. territory became a state. Senator John McCain, a Republican and another Arizonan, faced similar questions because he first drew breath in the United States Panama Canal Zone. The qualifications of Senator Barack Obama, Democrat of Illinois, were attacked because his father was a Kenyan. In 2016, opponents of Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, pointed out that Cruz was born in Canada. His mother was American, but his father was Cuban. Political partisans usually define natural-born to suit themselves. If the candidate is someone they like, they use a definition that renders their candidate qualified. If the candidate is someone they don't like, they jigger the definition the other way. None of the current presidential candidates faces this kind of controversy. So let's take this opportunity to rise above partisanship. Let's see what the Constitution really means. The Constitution, specifically Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, that's Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, lays down the following qualifications for president. And I'm quoting, "No person, except a natural-born citizen, or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution, shall be eligible to the office of president. Neither shall any person be eligible to that office who shall not have attained the age of 35 years and been 14 years a resident within the United States." Later amendments affected this section. As I pointed out in a recent column available on this website, the 14th Amendment may disqualify an insurrectionist from the presidency, although some scholars disagree, and so has a Colorado trial court. More clearly, the 22nd Amendment disqualifies anyone who already has served two presidential terms or one term plus more than 2 years of a former president's term. The Supreme Court says these are the only qualifications. Neither the Congress nor the states may add to them. Why does the Constitution include this natural-born rule? Well, a naturalized citizen may, although not necessarily, have conflicting loyalties. He or she may love America, but retain ties of family or sentiment to the old country. If tyrants control the naturalized citizen's native country, and the citizen has family or other interests there, he or she may be vulnerable to blackmail or extortion. Cooperate with us or we'll kill your family. English history taught the American founders the risks of divided loyalty. William of Normandy, known to history as William the Conqueror, who reigned from 1066 to 1087, became King of England, but he favored his fellow Norman French over the oppressed English. Charles II, who reigned from 1660 to 1685, was born in England, but he spent his early manhood as a refugee in France. And after coming to the English throne, Charles II showed his gratitude to the country that had harbored him and also yielded to his need for cash by entering a secret treaty with France, betraying English interests. King George I, who ruled from 1714 to 1727, was a German prince who was distracted by his holdings in Germany and never learned to operate within the English political system. These issues didn't change the English law of royal succession, but they did provoke some other legislation. Parliament decided that only natural-born subjects could serve in the legislature or in certain other high offices. All the American founders were aware of this history. Perhaps some would have liked to have seen a natural-born citizen requirement for any federal office. However, when the Constitution was written, the United States had existed for only 11 years. No adults were then natural-born American citizens. Further, many people born abroad had proven their loyalty to America by serving in the Revolution. And public opinion was too populist to accept a natural-born requirement for all high offices. So, as in so many other cases, the Constitution makers compromised. They exempted existing American citizens from the natural-born requirement, and they limited that requirement to the president, the leader in the sensitive areas of foreign and military policy. In 1804, the founding generation adopted the 12th Amendment, which clarified that the natural-born requirement applied to the vice president as well. Let's explore what natural-born citizen does not mean. If you Google the phrase natural-born citizen, you'll find inconsistent definitions. In part, this reflects the way political partisans abuse the phrase to suit themselves, but it also reflects some honest mistakes. All of the Constitution's framers and leading ratifiers were born and raised within the British Empire. Sometimes they invoked legal terms like habeas corpus, or privileges and immunities, or natural born. When they did, they used the meaning derived from English law. This could be different from the meaning in common speech or in other legal systems. The Constitution's definition of natural born citizen is clear, but to find it, you have to go beyond such common sources as the Constitutional Convention debates or the Federalist Papers. You have to study 18th century English law. That requires examining a series of 17th and 18th century English court decisions and parliamentary statutes. And you also need to know more than what sources to read. You have to know how to read them. What makes the search even tougher is that the natural born concept was tied up with a related and quite complicated legal term called allegiance. This also was common knowledge among the American founders, but most people who write about the Constitution today, including law professors, simply do not have the necessary background for researching 18th century English law, and they've made some highly publicized mistakes. In 2016, for example, the media trumpeted a Florida law professor's conclusion that no one born abroad could ever be natural born. That no one born abroad could ever be natural born. The media also promoted an essay by two prominent constitutional attorneys. It claimed that any person who is a citizen at birth is natural born. Still another claim is that only a person with two citizen parents is natural born. And yet another is that the founders adopted the international law definition of natural born. All of these claims, all of them, are false. So let's look at what natural born citizen does mean. When you put together the legal sources, here's what you get. First, if a child is born either within the United States or within American territories, and either parent is then in allegiance to America, the child is a natural-born citizen. Most foreigners legally in the country are considered to be in temporary allegiance. But a foreign diplomat on American soil, and generally also the diplomat's spouse, is in allegiance only to the sovereign employing him, not to the United States. His U.S.-born children are not U.S. citizens. So the children of, say, the British ambassador, born in this country, are not natural-born Americans. Next, invaders and illegal immigrants are not in allegiance to the United States. So their U.S.-bred children are not natural-born citizens. Both Barry Goldwater and John McCain qualified for the presidency because both were born in U.S. territory and their parents were loyal American citizens. Also qualified was Barack Obama, whose mother was American, whose Kenyan father was in the U.S. legally and therefore in temporary allegiance to the United States, and who himself, that is to say Barack Obama, was born in Hawaii. Yes, I know all the arguments that he was born abroad. As for President Chester A. Arthur, his mother actually bore him in Vermont, not in Canada. Second, a child born outside the United States and outside U.S. territories is natural born if his father is an American citizen in allegiance to the U.S. If the father has betrayed his allegiance by, for example, engaging in treasonous activities, then the child is not natural born. Third, if a child is bred outside the United States and U.S. territories and the child's father is foreign, then the child is not natural born. This is true even if his mother was an American citizen in allegiance to the U.S. Thus, in this instance, the instance where the child is born outside the U.S. and the child's father is foreign, in this instance, the Constitution applies the unusual rule that the status of the offspring follows that of the father. The legal Latin phrase is partus sequitur patrem. The offspring follows the father. Not the more common legal rule that the status of the offspring follows that of the mother, stated in Latin as partus sequitur ventrem. Federal law makes any foreign-born child of an American mother and a foreign father a U.S. citizen. But federal law can't change the Constitution. For constitutional purposes, even though the child is by statute a child at birth, a citizen at birth, that child is still not a natural-born one. Fourth, if a child is bred outside American territory and neither parent was an American citizen in allegiance to the United States, then of course the child is not a citizen at all. The child may be naturalized later, but never becomes natural born. I'm Rob Nadelson. Thanks for listening.